This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Bula Vinaka and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy, the best spot to keep in touch with Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby in your worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and next to me is my Cook Island Koi, Tinidar Arona, and we're coming live from Suva, baby.
We Bula, are here. Sammy, we are here, mate. Wow. Remember when we planted the seed earlier in the year?
Well, we started with Vegas, but you reached for the stars.
No, that will come.
Oh, we're still hoping for that one.
We planted seeds, but we planted a seed earlier this year once we heard that the Pacific Championships would be held in Suva, Fiji. And, mate, the seed growing. Now we're here.
We're here.
We are. Our office right now is sitting on the balcony at the back of our hotel looking over the ocean. We've got islands in front of us, boats. It's actually sunny. Yeah. I was happy because I was here a couple of days ago and it had rained a lot.
Suva always rains. It's wet here.
Opened the curtain this morning. The sun was beaming. Mate, what an office.
Oh, well, for all our listeners out there, yeah, it's horrible at the moment. It's absolutely horrible. And we had a bit of a briefing before we came from one of the bosses and just saying, make sure when you go there, you're going there for work. How does it, mate? This is a work day. How good is this?
Well, like I like to explain or say to my family and friends, you know, some can, some can't. And, we are living a good life and privileged and honoured to be working here in Suva, Fiji. And, the experiences I've had over the last couple of days have been one to remember, Sammy.
I know. Well, I'm just standing up now, just having a look over there, just seeing if there's any fish around that we could catch for a feed later. Just saw a boat before, just go past, nearly hit the pole. Thankfully, the safety officer on top of the boat on the roof was slapping the top of the boat, just going, hey, hey.
I also know our producer Declan made us get the show starting quickly because there's a big cloud.
There's a big cloud. Nah, she'll be right.
Like I said earlier, it does rain a fair bit here in Suva, so hopefully we don't get rained on. But at the moment, it's warm. It's not too humid. It's sunny. I'm really enjoying it.
I'm enjoying this. I can't wait. And we are here for footy. So just to let everyone know, we'll touch on that shortly.
I just want to share a little bit more about my experiences.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get to that. I want to ask you. You were here before me. Mate, you asked around and you asked the people, yeah, Sam Wykes is coming, and they were all happy to be here. I had my sign at the airport. Over here, sir, Mr. Wykes. None of that happened. But anyway, you were here. What's your experience been like so far?
Awesome. The people of Suva, Fiji, very welcoming, lovely people. I got to walk through the markets the other day and fresh fruit, fresh veggies everywhere, fresh seafood.
Did you get your coconut? You love a coconut, mate, every time we come on these trips.
You know, I got a coconut driving home. There was a nice side market and I just popped in there. It was only $2 Fijian
for
a nice young coconut. So she cracked it right there in front of me. As we're walking through the market, though, this Fijian man comes up and he goes, Bula, Bula. I go, Bula. And he goes, where are you from? I go, Australia. He goes, oh, you looking for carver bowl? And then we're thinking, oh, yeah, let's go have a look. And he goes, oh, there's a good carver bowl place around here. Let me show you. So he walks us about a 10-minute walk. And I was like, where's this guy taking us? Turns out to be his brother's carver bowl shop. And he had some nice carver bowls there. And then looked at the price, it was about $650 Fijian for a nice Fiji carver bowl. And he goes,
Carver bowl?
Fijian carver bowl.
Oh, veggies. No. You know what? Now, you know why I thought that? Because I took a carver bowl and I use it for my fruit and stuff at home, you know?
I was thinking all the keys or the fruit.
The disrespect, they chuck your keys and fruit in the carver bowl.
The price tag had $650. He goes, don't worry, you get local price, $300 Fijian.
Shut the gates.
And
foreign tax is double.
And then I thought my wife would absolutely kill me if I bought a carver bowl home for $300. So I had to turn the offer down. But
I would have bought seven of them.
Great experience. How was your flight over, mate?
Oh, unreal. Loved it. Just got in there. Beautiful staff members greeting us at the airport. And I slept the whole way pretty much.
Shirt over the head.
Shirt over the head, yep. Shirt, you know, my mate next to me had his shirt over the head too, so he knows the trick. And I do that mainly because when I sleep up, my mouth's open, so I didn't want those ugly photos of or Declan or you if you're there. You know, they
the
stick
videos.
The videos and they stick your fingers in your mouth. But no, it was beautiful. And we touched down, got to Nandi, well, nearly late.
Taxi you didn't catch the bus from. Yeah, you caught the flight from Nandi.
Yeah, from Nandi to Suva.
Just checking because a number of the international women's teams had to catch the bus Nandi to Suva, which is 3 to 4 hours. But no, so far so good. Loving my experience here in Suva, and this is your second home. So
second home, yep.
Thanks for welcoming me.
Now all good. Bula vinaka, vinaka vaka level, and to our people down in the west, dhola vina.
Hi, it's Ivani Politi, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
With all that in mind, as I said, we are here to talk about a bit of footy, not much union, but plenty of rugby league here in Suva. So let's rip in as per usual. Big weekend of international footy on the forefront here.
Yes,
talk to me.
The Pacific Championships kick off tonight. I know we've been waiting a long time, and I bet you're excited for this men's game coming up tonight.
Ooh, in that's
Brisbane.
A stacked team.
Tonga versus Australia. Mate, before I get started, what are you thinking of what are your thoughts on the Tongan team?
Oh, absolutely loved it. I think it's stacked. I reckon after that World Cup and when they beat the Kangaroos before, I guess the expectation, the bar was set really high, and probably some results again at the last World Cup, they would have liked to have done it better, losing to Samoa and all of that. I think it's just been feeding the fire for that next wave of players coming through to really stamp their authority in the international game and put Tonga back on the map. So I love this team.
Yeah. And then also, you know, competing with the Tier 1 nations and having the opportunities to play Australia and New Zealand. I know Samoa done really well in the last World Cup and, you know, making that grand final and making a big name for themselves. So a huge game, a lot on the line for the Tongan men. But I'll start with the Australia team. Yeah, I think their strengths, it's a new-look team. Their strengths, looking at their fast-running halves in Mitch Moses and Tom Dearden. First time that they'll be pairing up with the Australian team. Xavier Coates, you know, we've seen how high he can jump.
He can fly that fella.
Get over the wingers. And if he's on that left edge, I looked at the Tongan team. You've got Sione Katoa on the right winger for Cronulla Sharks. And then if they're up against each other, that could be a threat. So, you know, do they go Xavier Coates, put it on the corner, he jumps over Sione, or do the Tongan team respond by changing Daniel Tupou over on the other side to cover Xavier Coates? So I think that will be another one where Australia will be looking to attack. But then they also have the direction of Harry Grant and Isaiah Yeo. Both of them, both coming off the back of great grand finals in the NRL. Harry Grant was a standout player for the Melbourne Storm. He's had a huge season. And Isaiah Yeo, mate, he's been absolutely killing it for the Penrith Panthers and guiding that Australian team around. One thing they do probably want to look out for, though, is they've got a lighter forward pack. You know, no Payne Haas. They've got Paddy Carrigan starting at prop, Lindsay Collins, and also Isaiah Yeo. But then when you're coming up against... which I think Tongan's strength is their size. You know, you've got Adam Fanua-Blake, Jason Domololo, and Big Taniela Paseka coming off the bench. You know, if they can find that momentum, get the go forward and control the ruck and control the speed of the game, that will go a long way for Tonga to hopefully get the advantage.
On that point, to get those edge players into the game, do they have to be nice and direct through that middle?
In
the Tongan team, do they need to win the middle first before they go wide? Or do they go wide and look for those edge players early?
No, you go forward before you go sideways. So they'll look to go forward. And a big job for their outside backs as well, you know, just to create that momentum, create that play the ball ruck speed. And then you've got the big middles to go off the back of it. I explained a couple of weeks ago about the Penrith Panthers, how well their back five meet their forwards that are coming back behind the ball. Saves their energy. Hope, you know, we may see the Tongans and Lehi Hopewate starting the sets for Tonga. But then you look at the back rowers in the Tongan team. Eli Katoa, Hamole Olakuatu, two of the best NRL back rowers in the game right now. Eli had, I think he was, alongside Harry Grant, was another standout player for Melbourne Storm in both the semi-final and the grand final. And Hamole has absolutely killed it for the Manly Seagulls this year. I think they're a go-to. And if they get that go forward, this is where I believe is the biggest improvement for Tonga is an established NRL halfback in Isaiah Katoa. You know, you look at the way that he, off the back of the Dolphins, go forward, and the way that he can play and manage the game. Your little cousin, he'll hopefully they go forward for him so that he can work his magic around the ruck.
I'm looking forward to that. Like, from his family is up in Brisbane as well now. So we have a lot of family support there. And now, this is his third season or second? Is it third season or second season of NRL? Whatever.
He's your cousin, mate.
Yeah, sorry, mate. I don't really watch the league. No, I support him well. Second, but just he's not a new player anymore. So
he's established now.
So
he's owned that halfback position. He's confident in his role, and I think that's the key for young halves. Is once they know that they're halves, they own that role, then that's where they get the front forward. They start playing confident.
His brother Sione Katoa was in the last team that beat Australia. He was playing hooker there. So
I think he was the last person to hold the ball from the images that I seen in the visuals.
Oh, okay.
It was Sione once the full-time whistle went. He was the one who went down.
Well, it's just such a special moment. So both players now have had the opportunity to play against Australia. Someone like Isaiah is coming up against Mitch Moses. Where do you think he needs to stamp his authority in the game? Like, what's important to him? Like, the little things that matter the most to be able to get his side on the front foot?
I think for a young half like Isaiah, is probably get some early carries. You know, we've seen Nathan Cleary in the grand final, the amount of carries he was taking, and it adds to that threat. You know, he's not just a ball playing half; he'll take the line on. And I think once he gets confident in taking the line on, it engages the defence, opens the spaces out the back for him to, you know, display his skills and his passing and kicking game. So I would recommend him to, you know, take the line on, take a couple early carries, get into the game, and off the back of that momentum those forwards will give him, you know, he'll do his work as magic.
Yeah, love that.
In the other game, we'll see the Jillaroos take on the PNG Orchids before this Tongan Australian game in Brisbane. Now, yeah, this one's going to be a tough one for PNG Orchids. I know Shelley Long won't be there for her through to injury, but yeah, I think a lot of weight goes on their captain, Elsie Albert. She's had a huge NRLW season with the Parramatta Eels, and I think she'll have to carry this PNG Orchid side and sort of lead the way. But then you go up into this Jillaroo squad, you've got players like Samaima Taufa, Yasmin Clydesdale, and then coming off the bench, our good friend Sala Tonga Tuki, making her Jillaroo's debut. You know, I hope she has a really good game because she's spoken about how important this representing Australia is for her and her family. And I'm really rooting for her as well. Tiana Pinatani, she comes up another game for Australia as well. So some stars to look out for in this game.
Yeah, it will be a big task for the Orchids, but I've got no doubt they're going to represent their families and their country with a lot of pride and passion. And when we spoke to Shelley Long last week, she said to look out for Latonya Norris-Ardo. She's playing in the centres, and she's coming up against Tiana Pinatani as well. So big competition in front of her, but at the same time, there's nothing for the girls. It's an old cliche, but there's nothing for them to lose here. And hopefully they just go out there and just give it a red hot crack and
represent their nation.
You're already winning. You're already winning.
You've already won.
Yeah, you've already won. That's right.
Well, Sammy, we're here in Suva, Fiji. You know, we're the
Pacific. How many times are we going to say that in the show? We're here in Suva.
Just remind everyone.
Hey, everyone, if you don't know, we're here in Suva, Fiji.
I think
Fiji.
I'm going to have to go get a hat and some glasses, eh? Getting a bit burning.
On my shoulders.
You're going to have the arms, the singlet tan line.
I'll get the shirt off soon. No, I won't be doing that.
Anyways, we're here because of the Pacific Championship Bowl that is being held this weekend. Now, first up, we will have the Tongan women's team taking on the Fetu Samoan team. Now, I've had the honour to go into the nations yesterday and each nation that will be playing this Saturday and picked up a couple experiences from each camp, and which I'll share here. So, first one was the Tongan women's team. I got to experience they invited me into the room, opened the door. Is that rain?
I think that's rain. Just a little. It was going to rain at some point, they said, but she'll be right. We'll be right.
Anyways, back to my Tongan experience. So they opened the door, welcomed me and my team, and we're here for the RLPA, and we got to experience them during their devotion They've got their cultural advisor Nomi. He stood up and first he starts with a hymn and a prayer, speaks in both languages, explains to them the meaning of being in camp, where their motto, Sammy, do you know what their motto is?
You've put me on the spot again here.
And in English?
I should know this. It's something about God being at the center of everything. So it's God, family, and country.
God and Tonga is my inheritance.
Inheritance, that's the one. Inheritance. I was trying to find the word inheritance, and so, I should know this. And I'm gonna get. Oh man, my people are gonna hate me again.
So, so with the football and the rugby league, they also bring in their motto, their culture. And during that time, yes, there was a hymn sung. There was a prayer. They also had a guest speaker, a lady that was from Tonga that brought an under-16 girls Tongan team to Sydney, and she shared her experiences and spoke about this is my why, and she wants those young girls to be eventually the girls in the women's Tongan team. And you could just see the girls in the room, just their eyes filled with pride and passion, and it was a special moment. We also got to experience the line that they do. So the line is any punishments they have to go through, and each player takes the slip off, and if you're getting punished,
brutal.
You run through the two lines and they just give it a good whack, and
not experiencing that,
walk don't be late.
Just don't be late.
Don't be late. Show up on time.
Show up on time. It's not hard. Doesn't require talent. They always say it, and you won't get a hiding if you're on time. So unlucky. Yeah.
I thought that was a very special moment. The Samoan women's went into their camp, and it was actually just before they had their sivatau practice. So they practiced their sivatau, and then we came into the room. You can see around the room, they've got the Samoan items. They really bring the culture into the meeting room. So the girls, once they finish training or they come in for breakfast, they come in for lunch, they're already surrounded by that Samoan culture. Another thing that stood out for me was their staff. They've got Frank Pritchard, Kyle Stanley, and also Niall Guthrie-Williams on their Samoan staff. Who are they?
Who are they?
Legends of the game. Absolute legends.
Stack star.
With Samoan backgrounds, Jamie Soward as the head coach. But for him to have a team like that and give back to the players, some high-profile players as well. That was the other thing. My last point on the Samoan team.
Sounds like you're favouring Fitu Samoa here. Like, is that where you're...
Well look at these names. Evania Politi.
Yes.
Sienna Lofipo. Aneta Claudia Nuasala, really established NRLW players. A couple that we've had on our show here on Asian Footy. I actually looked around the room. There was four of them that had been on our show. And if you want to hear those episodes, you get them wherever you get your podcasts. But the other one was Christian Pure. This was the last one. Christian Pure walks through. I say hello. Guess who's following? Who meets him in the foyer? Christian Pure.
Wouldn't have a clue. Talk to me.
She brings her partner that plays for the Melbourne Storm. We mentioned him when he made his debut. He made the 40-metre break, scored a try. Ativalu Lisati.
Really?
And with the boyfriend is the man himself, Sua Fa'alongo.
Oh, he's here as well?
He's here as well. So the two boys, they jumped on camp and come to support the...
Sua not going someone. To...
And he must be injured.
Injured.
Oh, he's got that injury.
Oh, yeah, does have the injury. That's right. Oh.
So he's here supporting the girls in Fiji.
He's the man.
He is the man.
I want to get a photo. I want to get a photo
with
him.
And in that moment, a couple of the girls ran out, go, Sua, from the Fitu Samoan team. Took a photo of Sua.
Oh, I love that. I want to get one tomorrow, too. I want to fangirl him tomorrow as well.
But we'll touch on our score predictions or our tipping during the tipping comp. But with the women's game, few things that stood out to me. But then we go to the men's, where Fiji Bati will be taking on the PNG Kumuls. Now, going into the Fiji camp, man, I had the best experience. After our presentation, we gave a gift on behalf of the RLPA. It's something that connects the RLPA to, in our culture, we know that you don't come to the table empty-handed. and for them to that nations to open their doors and welcome us in.
Yeah, you don't bring a loaf of bread to a feast, you know.
It's important for us.
So we're bringing the bakery. That's so what you're doing.
At the end of every presentation, we have an Indigenous gift that we give to the teams, and after we give Tui Kamika Mitha, the team captain, the gift, he sits down, and then Kevin Nguama, the ex Fiji Patsy captain, he stands up. He says, "Thank you for being here. We really appreciate the work that you guys do. On behalf of the Fiji Patsy team, we want to give you this hymn." They all stand up and they shit. There was just the players, and then me and my two colleagues. They're facing us, and then they sing the Fijian hymn towards us.
How good's that, eh? Just on cue as well. Hey, Kevin just gives them a look. Yep.
Yep,
they just
all stand up,
and they just know what to do in that moment.
I had goosebumps the whole time. I pulled out my phone to go record. I'm like, you know what? Leave the phone down, be in the moment, and just really take it all in the whole time, man. Just had goosebumps. You got Tui with the deep tone, and he's harmonizing.
Was he the bass?
Yeah, he was the bass. He was that deep, that deep chocolate voice. But no, it was a very, very special moment. And then after when the boys were walking out, got to catch up with our good friend Michael Jennings, and he shared a bit about his experience and representing his father's side of the family. So his father's half Fijian, and you know he takes a lot of pride in representing his father's family, and you know, I was so happy for him because he's got to represent Australia, he's got to represent Tonga. Now he gets to wear the Pati jersey this weekend for the first time and represent his father's family.
You know, that's what I envy about rugby league. I understand you've got eligibility rules and you know they talk about the integrity of the game and whatever, but to be able to do that and get a deeper understanding and on all your cultures that you represent. So, yeah, you said it, and we've said it many times, whatever blood you have running through you,
yep.
You know, if it's Samoan, Tongan, Fijian, if you've got all of them, like Siwa Wong, got everything, he's even got Chinese in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he wants to represent his family and his past with the utmost respect and passion. And for Janko to be able to go through what he's gone through and come out and probably finish on this experience, I don't think in his entire life and rugby league journey he would ever thought he'll be putting on a Fiji Pati jersey and learning something about himself and his culture.
It's special. And the other thing that's special about this camp for him as well is that why is the Fijian coach, they purposely roomed the senior players with the junior players. And Janko, he said that he was with one of your friends, Jeffro, rooming with a young rookie who's come through the Bulldogs ranks and you know, played Hal Matthews SG ball.
Jersey flag, won the jersey flag in one year.
And now he's in the Fiji Butty team, rooming with Janko, a 300-plus NRL
gamer. So he's Jethro's 18, Rinakama, you know, his family's from here in Fiji, just a young Fijian boy out in Sydney. And just after a good season has been rewarded, and you're right, he gets to room with Janko, who's 36. Should know that we're the same age. I don't even know how old I am, actually. I'm still 30. But, you know, for him to be able to room with him, go to breakfast with him, go to training with him, sit on the bus with him, and just rub shoulders. And Janko's had plenty of highs and plenty of lows in his career. That advice that he's going to give young Jethro is going to set him up for a really, really good career, to help stack the odds in his favour to make really good decisions in life. And, man, I love that they get the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, it's a great work that the Fiji Butty team are doing when they're camped. So, you know, they've got a big game this weekend against the PNG Kumuls. Now, man, again, like I said, man, honoured to have these experiences, because I got to have a really cool chat with a Wakefield legend, not myself, not...
Oh, I was going to say, wow.
No.
Wow. Only one.
Head coach.
David Fifita.
The PNG Cornwall's head coach, Jason Demetrio. Now, just asked how last week was with the Prime Minister's 13s. He's got a big schedule. You know, they played in PNG. They now come in, had to fly to Fiji, Suva, play the game, and then fly back to PNG to play the Cook Islands in a couple weeks' time. Now, if they win this bowl, they then head to Sydney to play the promotion relegation game. So we're just having discussions around the schedule and
yep.
the travel and the amount of travel that they've had to do. But then on the back of that, he's got to share the experiences of PNG Rugby League and what he's picked up so far from just picking up this role. And already I can hear the pride and the passion he has for PNG Rugby League. You know, he's already talking about ideas and plans and the future of PNG Rugby League, how they can make an impact for the young players, and he understands that there's a big pool of rugby league players that we haven't untapped.
He can see that potential and that rawness, eh? Like, usually he'll get players when they've already, you know, probably have been in a system. Now he's looking at the PNG players just thinking, man, these guys have nowhere near the level of preparation and detail, and I think we have to move inside here too. The rain is actually just getting a little bit heavier. Probably should move in just in case. So as we're moving, so if you hear a bit of background noise, it's all right. We're just going to step over.
We're going to just continue the show moving.
Yeah, we're a moving show.
You want to go down the stairs or jump over?
We'll just jump over here. You'll be right, mate. You're not parkour. That old.
Well, we're doing parkour now. What about this morning when we were in the gym, Sammy, and I go, how's your lunges? And then he goes, yeah, it's sweet.
It's sweet.
And... yeah, his knee almost cracked.
He cracked that. Yeah, let me get you a chair. There we go, son.
Too easy.
Pull up a stump.
All right, so we're out of the rain now.
Yeah,
we're
out of the rain.
Undercover.
Well, I reckon we're going to be safe in about 5 minutes because there's blue skies there and it's cloudy there, but we'll get back to it after.
It's good that old Tim Bailey Declan knows his weather.
Knows the weather.
If I was a betting man, I would have thought that there would have been no sprinkles.
It's the old lick the finger and just put it to the air. And, yeah, it's going to rain soon. That's the old tricks. Where were we?
We're at Jason Demetrio.
Yeah, Demetrio. You can see the rawness of the PNG players.
Passion he already has for the country. He knows there's a big opportunity with rugby league. And he said that a lot of the juniors or the kids there don't play rugby league until later in life, until that's 16, 17, 18. So you look at back in Sydney or Australia, kids are playing at the age of 4 years old, 5 years old. Imagine when these PNG kids get to play at that age, and by the time they get to 18, they're already well developed.
So if they're made of granite at that later age, what are they made of when they start earlier?
Granite? Whatever's harder than granite.
I've got no idea.
And then on the back of a Wakefield legend, another Wakefield legend was Paul Aiton, the PNG Hunters head coach and also the PNG Kumuls assistant coach. So he comes in, joins the conversation. Good friend. I was a junior at Penrith Panthers when he was playing for the Penrith Panthers NRL team. And he had the same passion, speaks about the same plans and ideas that Jason has. Speak to Captain Reece Martin. Same again. He can see the opportunities that PNG Rugby League have. So I think they're in a really good position. They've got the right people there. They've got right leaders to lead that space. And, you know, hopefully there's, in the near future, there's some really big plans and
results
for PNG Rugby League.
So if that expansion does happen, like from hearing those men...
You've got the people in the right places.
Yeah, if you're hearing those men and their passion, the people in the right places, like it's a must that it probably should go ahead.
Well, we're hoping that it should.
We're hoping it does go ahead, yeah. Nice.
Just lastly, too, like I was there for the RLPA explaining some of the player payment process for the players. Now, as you'll know, a lot of the players in the PNG Kumuls team play for the PNG Hunters, and they're based in PNG. And there was one person that spoke on behalf of the group. They were all on one table. You know, looked a little bit confused, but I said, any questions? And once the meeting finished, I mentioned him last week, Judah Rumbu. He comes up, he goes, oh, can I have a couple questions? We're just a bit confused on some areas. So I go down, sit down at the table, and Judah's speaking on behalf of the rest of the PNG Hunters or the PNG local players that probably don't understand English that well. And you know, the right questions, but you could see he was the leader. He was the leader in that group. And then after I said, after I was answering the question, I go, you're Judah, right? And he goes, yeah. I go, man, you smashed it last week against the Prime Minister's 13. But I just knew the way that he was leading the in-nation PNG people, that was Judah Rumbu from the performance that he had last week.
You love that. You've seen your senior players stand up and pave the way for the young ones to make sure that's normal. It's normal to ask questions. Don't be shy.
Yeah.
Because if you're thinking it, I guarantee you, the rest of the lads are thinking it as well. So having someone like that influential in a group, it's only going to do wonders for them.
Yeah, and it was a time when I opened it up in front of the whole group, said, any questions? No questions. But after, whenever all the meeting was finished, he comes separately, and I understand, it'd be tough for him. But for him to come up and do that in front of for his players, it shows his leadership signs. So, mate, great experience. And remember, Sammy, as always, you can hear every NRL game, including the Pacific Championships, live on ABC Radio Australia.
You did an outstanding job, T.
You reckon?
Oh, I love that. I love that rugby league chat. It makes me want to play rugby league.
How good's our job, eh?
Well, did I mention we're in Suva? We're in Suva Fiji. All right, we've got to get to some rugby news, mate. Have you left me some space there?
Actually, sorry, before I leave.
Oh, no, you haven't. No. Anyway, talk to me, yep.
This links to rugby union.
Okay.
So my mate that got us in the markets and took us to his brother's shop, yep. His name's Tomasi.
Tomasi?
And we had a chat about Thomas? Rugby league and rugby union. And I said, oh, I know, Fijian draw and rugby union is a big sport and rugby league's competing with rugby union. He goes, nah, we all watch rugby league.
That's a lie.
I promise you, Tomasi said that.
Tomasi doesn't know.
Tomasi tried
to charge you $600 for a carver bowl. You really going to trust that person and then cut it in half? There's no way, mate.
That's what he told me.
Nah, mate. How many billboards did you see of all the draw players here?
Actually, there were a few.
Yeah, there was a few. And then, there we go. That's, mate, Tomasi. Come on, mate.
They were chasing Tui down the road.
Yeah, a union boy. anyway, let's get to some rugby union news because we are in rugby union heartland T in Tomasi. This is a beautiful place. And when I get to Culture Shock, we'll be talking about the rugby factory there, one of the villages where a lot of our superstars come from. So wait till we hear about that for Culture Shock. But we spoke about last week, the Women's Rugby World Cup, and seeing Samoa, Manusina Samoa, qualify after their WXV3 competition. Amazing scenes there. So it's great to see them in. And now their rankings have been announced. Yes, Samoa ranked 15th now, and Fiji moved down one spot to 17th. And we look at the Rugby World Cup, they've been put into bands from bands 1 to 4. If we look at the top band of England, Canada, New Zealand and France, and then band 2 is Australia, Ireland, Scotland, Italy. Band 3 is USA, Wales, Japan, South Africa, and band 4 is Spain, Samoa, Fiji and Brazil. And what that means, especially when we look at band 4 with Samoa and Fiji, they're going to be in separate pools, so they won't be playing against each other. When they finally get those pools out.
And they'll meet in the finals.
They're going to meet in the finals. Yes, I love the optimism. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's great to see.
Yeah, have faith, man.
I will always have faith for our people. I will always have faith, and it's great to see we have two teams representing our Pacific at the Rugby World Cup.
Who looks better?
That's a great question, because the way Samoa have performed since that win against Australia A over in Samoa, I think they've just built something special there amongst their players. They've got an understanding how they want to play. They've got an understanding what's required to go to the next level. And they've, with their wins,
confidence.
Yeah. So I think they've got that. Whereas the Fijiana team going into it, they were by far the better team because of the fact they've had the experience of Super W in the preparation and understanding what it's like to tour.
Yeah.
So you thought that would have been a big difference for them going into those games, but maybe they need to get used to the feeling of playing longer competitions and being on the road for a lot longer, because the World Cup will be in England. So it's going to be interesting to see how they perform, and hopefully they bounce back. And I think they're going to shake the cage over there. Like all of our Pacific Island nations, when they go to World Cups, there's going to be an upset from one of those games. So we'll look forward to that one. In other news, Joseph Swali'i, the Samoan Rooster, he is now landed in rugby union. He's there at training.
He's back.
He's back. He's landed back.
You got one back.
We got one back.
You must have been paying a lot of money to get him back.
There is a lot of money there for that man, but he's worth it. And I know there was some headlines around whether it was true or not, but there was some speculation that the coach was saying Joe Smith, he wouldn't go on the spring tour in November. He's got to earn his right.
That's a bluff.
He's straight in there.
It'd be silly not to take him.
Yeah, they need every...
As soon as he signed that deal at Rugby Union, it got people talking about Rugby Union.
Exactly right. Like, I've never seen so many cameras, media, media outlets at training.
One player.
For one player. So it's great news. I think he was there talking with Joe Schmidt at training. You could just see the way he moves. Like it was just effortless. And I can when those comments came out, like Joe Schmidt saying that he wouldn't go, one conversation, one training run, throws out the window. You're coming, mate. You're coming. And what that does too, there's no point in leaving him here in Australia when he can go over there and live and breathe rugby union for 5 weeks, get an understanding of the game, his review, even if he doesn't play,
he's still getting the experience, he's still there around the other players, he understands what the Wallabies are about. I was just trying to think kangaroos, wallabies.
Wallabies. It's good to know that you know the Australian rugby national team, what the animal is. But especially when you come into the British and Irish Lions next year, that's why he wanted to come over, play in that type of game. They tour every 12 years. So going to the UK, he's going to get a look at who he might be coming up against.
It's funny you say that because it's aligned with the Rugby League Lions Tour. So Australia's playing.
Don't you ever compare the Rugby League British and Irish Lions Tour to the Rugby Union ever again, mate.
See you next year. Who gets the most views?
It's not happening, but it's great to see him and finding his position, whether that's going to be fullback, wing, 13.
What do you reckon?
I reckon he'll be a great 13, but I think eventually he's got to be a fullback. He'll do the
when
same.
When you pay that amount of money,
yeah, he needs his hands on the ball.
Get the ball on the ball, get his hands on the ball.
And play him is very similar to the way they played Izzy Folau. You know, not just to be able to kick it back. You can be a run threat. You can jump into the line wherever you need to. And defensively, just work out your pendulum system so someone else feels his position at the back when he's not there.
Can they overplay him? Is there a threat that they could overplay him?
Because if you do that, then the analysis from the other team will be like, oh, if we shut down Joey or shut down the threats, he's going to have limited impact.
Yeah, I felt like that was Izzy at one point. Shut down Izzy, you shut down the whole team.
Exactly. So that's why they need more players around him. So that's what's going to be interesting. Where when he's at the Roosters or when he's playing Origin, you just can't focus on the one threat.
Yeah,
because you've got others across the park.
You've got Joseph Manu on the other end.
Exactly right. So I wonder how Joseph Manu is going in Japan. He's getting nude in the onsens or not yet. That's all right.
You'll be able to see. I thought he's posting up some vlogs on his Instagram. Yeah.
Okay. We'll
looks
keep
like he's having a good time.
Well, that's good, mate. Plenty of yen there for him. But some other big news coming out of Fiji as well. The captain or former captain, Waisea Naiadalevu, with the allegations of unpaid bonuses. And again, it feels like we repeat some of these stories a lot of the time with the corruption at the rugby house there in Fiji, and there's other players now have speaking out about there needs to be a players association. You know, we see it in rugby union. It's called RUPA, the Rugby Union Players Association. T yourself, you work for the RLPA, and we've heard you mention your role a fair few times on the show and the amazing work that your team does. If Fiji Rugby Union and the players were to go down that route, what's the benefit of having a players' association and a player's voice in the game?
Education is probably a big thing.
Yep.
Yeah, getting the players across their entitlements and simple things as well, like a TFN tax file number, getting the tax file number to get paid and collecting those details, but also having a separate entity to be a voice for the playing group. It doesn't put the pressure all on the Fijian playing group. You've actually got an organisation that will speak on behalf of the playing group. So I think it's important to have. I know that we've worked hard to build a lot of trust with our players in both NRL and NRLW, but that's from doing great work and making sure that the players are well protected and we also advance their interests. So I think it could only do good things for Fiji and rugby union.
You're not wrong, and I'll give you an example.
Did you like that answer?
I love that answer. I don't know what you said, but I'm sure it was great. But we've talked about Jamie Joseph before. You know how ruthless he was as a coach.
What was his favourite saying? Saying to him?
You're no good to me. You're no good to me. I need men, not boys. That was what he always told me. So that's why I retired early because of him. But I remember when he was a coach of the Sunwolves in Japan. Training went for too long, from the morning session and then ate into our lunchtime. And we only had a 20-minute lunch break before our field session. And then he walked past us and he goes, oh, you boys haven't had lunch yet? And he's like, no, we haven't. He goes, oh, lucky you don't have a players association then. See you in 20 minutes. And I was just like, oh, this is why we need a players association. See even, you in 20 minutes.
Even the coach knows the importance of having a players association or a players union. Well, speaking of players associations, we've managed to grab one of my colleagues, a NRLW player. Well, actually, ex-NRLW player now. She just announced her retirement not long ago. Nita Maynard, welcome to Nijin Footy.
Thanks, crew. Thanks for the impromptu invite. You know, on the way back from the gym, no other place you'd rather be invited to come on to a podcast, hey?
Podcast/radio show/ the number one podcast across
the Pacific that talks rugby union, rugby, mainly rugby league now, because we don't have many stories in rugby union. But
well, speaking of stories, we're speaking about our experiences over the last couple of days, and I forgot to mention our dinner last night on the boat. It was a bit rocky. Can you share to our listeners what the experience was like?
Yeah, look, it all sounds nice and dandy when you're looking out across the view and you're coming onto this nice fancy boat.
Oh, can you tell our listeners where we are though? Because they don't know yet.
Yes. So we're actually in Suva in Fiji.
Oh, Fiji.
We already said it about 10 times already.
And so, sorry, you're on the boat and you're eating? Yeah.
Yeah, so we didn't even get to the eating part and the boat starts rocking. We were all fine. I think me and Booth, we were fine. It was T over here. It was just being a little bit dramatic about looking up and getting us to see. Can you see? So Boothy has to get his phone out just to make sure that he was recording the right. Actually, it wasn't even Boothy. It was yourself, wasn't it, T, that started recording off the table, just trying to see how much swaying the boat was happening?
Well, you know, it didn't make sense because I put my phone on the table that also rocks. So there was no rocking motion on my phone.
Wait, look, before we get into some of the footy stuff, especially in the women's space, Pac Champs, I get the privilege of working with T every Monday and Friday. What do you like to work with on your front?
Yeah, me and T, we've had some great times over our past 1 year of working together. So we've managed to go to, we've been to PNG now, we're now in Fiji, but always great times. If you ever want to have a short conversation, you're taking the wrong bloke. So if you're ever in a rush, you won't
That's unreal.
I learn from the best.
Yeah, you learn from the best. Oh, I can talk underwater.
The number one networker.
Yeah. Nah, unreal. Well, you've been over here as well, and the growth of the women's game in the international space and just seeing PNG, Tonga, Fiji and Samoa just playing on a big stage like this, how has that been from your point of view as a player now in the position you are to see the growth in that area?
Yeah, it's been awesome to see, and I know that we can all agree that the growth of the women's space in particular has been like catastrophic. So especially having a team like Samoa, who I haven't seen on this international stage or on a platform like this for a long, long time, and I guess when you see the likes of their playing squad, you can see the depth in which the girls actually want to come back and they want to represent their nation. So a big shoo-in for Samoa being Vani Politi, who's leading the charge to hopefully get a lot more girls playing for their nations. Speaking to them and on my own personal front, I understand how important it is to represent your culture. And we were fortunate enough to go around to all the teams yesterday and just being a part of the cultural experiences, the devotions, the hymns, the songs, experiences that you don't get to experience anywhere other than these environments. So it's been really awesome to actually be a part of that and be a bystander and actually see the growth and the passion that these girls show on the stage. So, yeah, pumped to see the girls play tomorrow.
Was there any special moment that stood out for you yesterday?
Yes, I think it all started with Fiji for us and for the men. So after we presented to the team, we gifted them an emu caller, which is an indigenous hunting tool that they use. That was just obviously a gift from our organisation over to the Fiji team, and they were fortunate enough to sing us our first hymn for the day. And I guess unless you've been in front of it and even watching it on TV, like, there's just a sense of connection that you feel and, like, very privileged to be a part of that. And then, again, we managed to be a part of the devotion for both the Tongan and the women's team. So I think we're just very fortunate, like, for both of us being of Pacific heritage. We love to see it. We love to be a part of it. And it's great that we have this exposure for the game.
There's always going to be teething problems no matter what when something new happens. And from your experience now as a player, now being in a position to, you know, help implement change, what's needed to grow the game even further?
Yeah, there just needs to be a bit more investment into the infrastructures of the rugby league foundations within the country. So for us here, obviously T spoke about it, we're here to try and advance and protect our players when they are performing on these international stages. But realistically, I think the investment needs to come from the nations, from the grassroots. So we'd love to see more people in country coming through the ranks, some more administrators, referees, coaches, all alongside the players. So we're not just advancing one part of the game, we're advancing the whole nation. So that's where we seem to see the most improvement at the moment. We've been fortunate enough to from a player's perspective to secure some payments for the players, so there's equal playing field for the players. But we understand how important it is for these players, not just for these players but for these nations, to be in these environments, to have equal opportunity. And that equal opportunity obviously requires investment.
As you can,
very well
as
said.
You can see, Sammy, she's the brains.
Yeah, on the, I can see where
I get us into the room, but then she finishes it. Gets all the paperwork done. So she's also leads our Mana group, the Māori and Pacifica Player Advisory Group, and doing a great job in empowering the Māori and Pacifica athletes, but also our communities, and leading the way. So, like I said, she does all the heavy lifting. She's the brains, and the support crew.
No way. It's a collective, and I'm really appreciative for T coming on board, especially Joe Nullivale, who's also a part of our crew, Tia Soliola, that we were fortunate enough to work with for a year, because I was the lone brownie there for a while, and pretty sure that I only got the job because I was a brownie and I was the first one to apply with this very long cover letter. But not too much experience working in this space, but over the past few years managed to find my feet, and again really passionate about my own heritage, but also about our people and how we can really thrive on the big stages.
I love now that she's retiring from rugby, because now she can put all her focus in leading the way. And
with answers like that and execution, I can see why.
Well, speaking of footy, have you played any other teams in the Pacific Champs?
I think back in 2022, I played for the Kiwi Ferns, and we played Tonga, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So the real starting stages of the Tongan women's team. So at that stage, it was, I think, previously the year before, during COVID year, they had played, and there was not too many of the, well-established players that kind of went back to play for Tonga. A lot of it had due to, COVID restrictions, travel and whatnot. So I was lucky enough to play against some of the girls that, for the Tongan team. Even more fortunate now that I don't have to bash the body to be able to enjoy these experiences now, and I can have a few cocktails every night if I wanted to without the stresses
of
getting
guilty.
Yeah, without the stresses of getting up super early and trying to get yourself prepped and ready for a game. So yeah,
lucky. Nita also represented the Knights in the NRLW, won the premiership last year alongside Yasmin Clydesdale as well. And speaking of Yasmin, she's playing for the Australia tonight, and they'll be playing PNG. What are your thoughts on this game tonight?
The game tonight, I'm really excited. I think it's a very interesting time for the Gillaroos team. They've obviously gone with they've kept a lot of their same players, but they've also brought back a lot of old players who probably haven't played, like Mahalia Murphy.
It's going to be tough for PNG, but what do you think they'll need to do to be competitive and give themselves a chance?
Yeah, I think I watched the PM's game last week, and what I noticed is that they just don't really have too much movement away from the middle. So if they can actually get the ball moving a little bit, get themselves in a position to play in the right end of the footy, so some percentage footy down in the the right attacking end, I think they give themselves a great chance. I think with Australia, they've got a lot of strike weapons all the way around, but you can't doubt the fight from the PNG players. So yep. I'm hoping that they turn up, and it's going to be a blast.
We really appreciate you coming on. We wish you all the best in that space and keep killing it.
No, thank you, guys.
Hi, I'm Mona Lisa Soliola, and you're listening to Indonesian Footy.
Well, Sammy, how good was that? See, she makes my job easy.
Yeah, I know.
When you got someone like that on the team.
Oh, I could tell the way she spoke.
I could just kick back.
Take the credit.
I just go to the next person. Get us in the room, get us in the door, and then it's like, all right, Nita, you're up.
Hey, everyone, you're 5'8", halfback, you've got to compliment each other. And just on another note, hey, where are we again too? Just to let our listeners know.
Well, it's not sunny, Suva.
Nah, it's not anymore.
It's raining, Suva, now.
But we're still in Suva, baby. We're here in Fiji.
We got out of the nice weather we had, and now we're underneath the shade, and yeah, it's
still
raining
28
now.
Degrees.
Still warm. You've still got a singlet. Yeah, you've still got your shorts on.
We're good to go. Yeah, loving life. We're living. As I say, hashtag living, they say.
We are working.
Working, yes, working,
boss,
living, whatever. Doesn't matter.
If you're listening, we are working. We're working very hard.
Culture shock.
See, because we're in Fiji, it just made sense that we'll do a culture shock here in Fiji. And because you did PNG Rugby League, I thought I'd do something similar, not quite as good as you. There's a village here out in the west. It's called Namatakula out there. So they call that the rugby factory out there. Factory line of talented players.
So like the Western Sydney version.
And it is in the west.
Fiji. In rugby,
in rugby union, or just in both codes.
Oh, yeah, both
really.
Codes.
Yeah, so
What was it? Namatakula.
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 It's produced some famous Fijians. So let's go with the famous rugby league player. If I say Fiji rugby league, what the greats early on?
Petro.
No, early on.
Before Petro. Oh, I only watched up like when Petro started.
The great Noah Nundruku. Remember him, the winger for the Canberra Raiders?
Oh, Big Noah.
Big Noah. You don't know who he is.
My dad.
Your dad would 100% know him.
Because he was a Raiders fan, and it's only because they probably were successful and Noah would have been in that team.
Mate, he was in that team.
Mel Meninga, did he play in Mel Meninga?
Yes, he was in Mel Meninga's era. So he's a rugby league legend. He's from Namatakula. Played for Canberra Raiders. He was a key figure in the 90s. And he was the NRL's top try scorer entitled in 1993.
How many tries?
Can't remember. It wasn't on my notes. But
anyway,
it wasn't
on ChatGPT.
It wasn't there. Oh, yeah, also Big Lotte Tungiri was from there as well.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
from
Big
that
Lottie.
One. Nemani Nondolo.
Big Nondolo.
Big Nondolo was there. Tevita Kurundrani.
All from the same village. How big is this village?
Not big. You think of Fiji? Smaller than that.
Namatakula. Done. We do not have Professor Paulo because our mate is
Bali
in
belly
Bali.
He's got Bali belly.
He's lost his phone.
Oh, he's lost his phone.
I believe he's lost his phone.
He's probably lost his phone and
because,
got Bali belly.
You know how I know? I've been messaging him about a golf day next week and he was keen. He's like, yeah, I'm in. Then all of a sudden
Crickets.
The message just stopped. And I go, nah, this isn't like
That's
Seth.
Not like him.
And
That's
then
unlike him.
I get a video from my old teammate, Tongan, David Fafita. Who's also in Bali.
In Bali as well.
He sends me a video of Sefa, Professor Paulo, saying, almost lost his phone and he's not replying to you.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Well, this is our knockout tipping comp where all year we've tipped league and union and battled it out, but it's all league now, Sammy. Union's done.
It's done and dusted in two.
We have kept a score.
I don't even know
when. I'm on 46. You're on 36. I won last week again.
I lost last week again.
Well, anyways, let's get to this week.
Let's
so 46-36. This week, let's go the games that are played here tomorrow night. Let's start with the women's. Fetu Samoa versus Tonga. Who are you going?
You know what? I'm just going to go head-to-head. I'm going to back
No, don't
out.
Go head-to-head.
Why?
Because you're going to lose.
I'm already down.
Who are you going? Tonga or Samoa?
Right. I'm
going
to go Tonga.
I'll give you 16.5 star.
All right, 16. I'll take that.
Fiji versus PNG. Pati Fiji versus the PNG. Kumus.
Granite on granite. Who's going to break
first? Who's
got
the hardest granite? I want to go the home field advantage.
Oh, you go first because you always give me the... You go first.
I'm going home field.
All right, you're going to go Fiji?
I was honoured by that him that they've done. I just got that attachment already, that connection.
Fiji. Okay, you go Fiji. Is there room for a little start there or no?
There's room. I'll give you a 12.5. For PNG.
I'll take that. I'll take
All
that
good.
Start. Yeah.
Well, that's us done for another Nijin Footy Fridays. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nijin Footy wherever you get your podcasts. And just a reminder, yes, we are here in Suva, Fiji. And, oi, the pork belly salad here is awesome.
I'm going to get some pineapple anyway. More there.